to Matthew chapter 10. If you haven't, anybody need a Bible? We got an usher here that will. Thank you, Victoria. Matthew chapter 10. Heavenly Father, we just come before you with thanksgiving and praise. And we, Lord, we as your servants, Lord, we just come before you seeking direction, seeking counsel. Lord, I just pray that you would pour your Spirit upon all of us. Overflow us, Lord, with your presence. Lord, we so desperately need to know that you are leading us and that you are guiding us. So often this world hides you from us. Lord, as we take our eyes off of you and look at the situations at hand, Father, we know that you have all things under control. Nothing is happening that you haven't ordained from the time that when time began. Oh, Lord, we want to have this confidence in you, but we are but dust. And the things around us, they shake us. So, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us, that you would guide us. As your Holy Spirit overshadows us, Lord, that we would know that we know that we know that you are with us and you will never leave us nor forsake us. As we walk through this life, Lord, into the perils of that we face, we know that you are right there with us, guiding us, leading us. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus gathered his 12 disciples. In the beginning of the chapter, we see that he gathered his 12 disciples, and he called them, and he empowered them, and he sent them forth. That's the definition of an apostle, is being sent, one that is sent. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We have received him as our Lord and Savior, and as such, we have been transformed. And what happens is that there is, in this world, there is a spiritual battle going on. Before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we didn't know that it existed. And what happened is when we became spiritually born again, we realized that there is spiritual warfare out there. We became aware of it, and we see all of the different aspects of it. We can see it manifested in the lives of other people around us, in those that don't know him. We can see that people will hate you without a cause. Jesus told us that. The reason is because of the spirit that drives them. There is a spirit outside that is against the Spirit of God. We call that spirit Satan. We know that he is the murderer. He is the first murderer. And everybody that doesn't follow the Lord is subject to this spiritual force. And so because we have the Spirit of God, the work that we have to do is to stay plugged into the power source, who is Jesus Christ. He is our power source. He gives us that dunamis power that we need to live the Christian walk. We can't do it on our own. We cannot manufacture any of the resources that it takes to live a Christian walk. The only thing that we can do is yield ourselves, saying, okay, these resources that I have are no good in the spiritual realm. They are only good in the earthly realm. And so I lay down those things so that I might get his resources. Now, if we cling to our own resources, we can't use his because we're clinging to his. All of our influences, all of our power, all of our wealth that we may have, trying to live the Christian walk isn't going to make it. It's not going to cut it. Only things done through him is going to matter. So all of the things that we try to do in the flesh, they're wood, hay, and stubble. And at the time when the works are judged, those are things that are going to be burned up. And we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about the works that we have done for the Lord. But the things that were done for the Lord that came from his resources are gold, silver, precious jewels. Those things will survive the fire. The fire of his looking at to see from whence they came. Did they come from him or did they come from us? Did we try to take our works and offer them up as a sacrifice? Now in Genesis, we see that Cain took the fruit of the field We saw that he took all the, and we're going to presume, of course, that it was the best of what the earth had to bring forth. But remember, the earth was cursed. And so God rejected that. He said, no, this isn't what I have prescribed. You can't take something that's cursed and offer it to a holy God. But there is one sacrifice that I will accept. And that's the sacrifice that Abel sacrificed up. And that was a lamb. By the shedding of innocent blood will your sins be covered. And that was acceptable. And what happened? The spirit that overcame Cain, he drove him to kill his brother because of jealousy, because his sacrifice was accepted and Cain's was not. And so we have that played out day by day by day, even to this present day. Those that would offer up their own works are going to be envious of those that offer up the works that the Lord has provided for them in the way that they have provided for them. And it's important to remember that as we look about the world around us, we can see it's something that the Lord had told us about in the beginning. Remember, he has told you that these things were going to happen. The righteous shall suffer persecution from all quarters, from all quarters. And I think the Lord wants us to go through these things so that we'll realize that it's him that we want. It isn't anything in this world. Sometimes when things are going well for us, we tend to forget about the Lord. That's just human nature. We tend, oh, things are going good. There's no fighting going on in our lives. We have no battles going on. And so what do? We slack. You know, we just, oh, let's kick back, take it easy a little bit. But when the battles are hot and heavy, when you're going through, let's say, a physical malady, let's say you're struggling with cancer or you're struggling with some kind of a sickness or disease, man, you're on your face day and night praying about these things because you're in the midst of the battle. And the midst of the battle is being manifested in the sickness that is in us. We feel that the enemy is attacking us. But the Lord has designated, has determined that we are to go through these trials, to go through these tribulations. Why? So that we will be stronger in the Spirit. He wants to cultivate eternal treasures in each of our lives. He's not interested in giving us abundance here on the earth. Whenever we go through the Psalms, when we read the Psalms, we talk about being fat, having the abundance. It isn't in this world. It's in the next where we will be able to enjoy them to the fullest. Wealth and things like that tend to blind men's eyes. I'm not saying that all things, all wealth is not bad. I'm not saying and used in the right way. But for the most part, I know in myself, I'll use myself as an example. If I, get a few bucks ahead, what's going to happen? That's going out to dinner and do this and that. But do we consult the Lord to see what he would have us to do? Maybe he wants us to support a missionary or something, And I'm just using that for an example. It's an extreme example, of course, but I know myself. I know myself that if I had a lot of money, I probably wouldn't be in the position that I'm in today. Okay, I wouldn't be at the place where I'm more spiritually in tune. I think the Lord has kept me broke because he knows I can't handle money. Okay, sorry, kids. No, no we for you this week. We'll put a bucket. No, I'm just kidding. But it's the eternal that, as we gather together today, we know that we have struggles in this life. But when we get to the other side, when we finally get into the kingdom where the Lord would have us, we know that all of those things are going to be wiped away. We will not even remember this. The Lord is going to be so gracious that he's going to take the memory of the things that we endured here, and it's going to be wiped away. And even the, when Paul describes it, he says these light afflictions that we go through, these momentary light afflictions cannot be compared to the weight of the glory that we will have. You see the differences there? These little light afflictions, kind of like a gnat or a mosquito. That comes around and buzzes your ear when you're trying to sleep at night. That's the light afflictions. But the weight of the glory that we will have, the riches that we will have in the next life. And as we look at those things, the things of this world grow dim. And we don't long for the things of this world because we know that our kingdom is not of this world. We look for a city whose builder and maker is God. And so as he's sending them out, he's conditioning them, he's teaching them, he's telling them, don't be afraid of these things. And in our verses this time, we're going to see three times he says, fear them not, be not afraid, if you will. And so in verse, well, let me see, let me back up here. We're gonna start in verse 26, but I guess, you know, as my style is, we have to kind of go back and get the continuity of what he was saying. And so as we go up to, we'll go up to verse 19. And so, but when they deliver you up, in verse 10, chapter 10, verse 19, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. You see, the Spirit of God will give you the peace to be able to, okay, I'm not going to think ahead what I'm going to say, because that's what the Lord is going to speak for me. And he's going to speak words that I need to speak to them. In verse 21 it says, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now, the enduring here is basically sticking with it, the stick-to-itiveness. We have a free will. Now, I'm going to try a little experiment. This is going to be a little experiment. I want everybody to pay attention here for a second. I want you to, right now, raise one hand. Okay. Some of you, okay, you can put your hands down. Some of you raised your right hand. Some of you raised your left hand. Some of you chose not to participate. Okay? That was your free will in what to do. You see? You had the free will. I didn't give you direction and say, raise your right hand, raise your left hand. I gave you the ability to choose for yourself which hand you would raise. And you chose. You chose either left, right, or not to participate. That was fine. That was your free will to do. And it's the same thing with the Spirit. You can choose what you're going to do. You can choose to follow after the Lord because of persecutions and stuff. You may be beaten down, but you can choose to go on with the Lord, or you can choose not to go on with the Lord. But there's no other third choice. You know, you either will or you won't. It's your desire. Now, we have desires for this world, but as we taste and see how good the Lord is, we desire more and more of Him. And so we will say, you know what, there isn't anything that compares to what the Lord has, so I am going to continue on with the Lord. And the Scriptures have shown us that there will be people that taste of the Lord, and they will turn back, and they will say, no, the road is too hard, the way is too hard, the persecutions are too heavy. I can't take the isolation, I'm going to go back and live in the world. But a caution for you, once you have tasted of the Lord and you try to go back and ingrain yourself back in the world, it isn't going to work. The Lord is not going to allow you to be comfortable there. And you can live the rest of your life trying to fit into the world, but the world will not accept you. Why? Because you have tasted of the Spirit of the living God. The spirit world knows this, and it will not allow you to integrate back in. It's just, it just can't be done. So people get all kinds of psychoses and things like that. They spend fortunes on doctors and things like that, when all they need to do is come back to the Lord. So with that, we see how the spiritual realm takes manifests itself into this life. And you shall be hated for all men for my name's sake, and he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you to another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be his be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. That is the essence of being a disciple, is to emulate the one that you're following. That's where it becomes an individual process. And that's why I like Gail Irwin so much, is because he gives us that just plainly. He makes this little list. This is what Jesus was, and this is what we are to be. When we look at the Ten Commandments, if we look at the Ten Commandments through the eyes of flesh, we see the things that we aren't able to do. We can't do this, we can't do that, we can't do the other thing. But through the eyes of the Spirit, we see the Ten Commandments as God's attributes, the things that we will by nature start to do. We'll start to do those things, and we haven't been told. You see, we'll start to, because we have fellowship with Jesus Christ and are his disciples, we will then begin to emulate who Jesus was and how he. And so when we look at the commandments, we're saying, wow, I'm being transformed into his image, day by day, glory by glory. Now, the glory by glory is that as you fail, the Lord gives you more resources to be able to walk on. And then you say, okay, I've been forgiven. That's the glory, that he, the glory of him, we don't look at the cross as being glory. Sometimes we look at the resurrection as being glory. But the glory for us is the cross. Because when we fail, we look at the cross and we say, my sins have been forgiven. It's by his shed blood that I am made pure. So when I look at the cross, I see that glory. When I fail, 1 John 1:9. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the glory. He's faithful to do these things for us. And that's the confidence that we have. When we sin, we know that the Spirit's not giving us any peace. We know that we've sinned. And the sooner we go and do that, then we're cleansed and we can get on. We have that peace once more. The fellowship has been restored. Now, we get into something. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Now, Beelzebub, I know he didn't really bring this out last week, but it was just kind of an interesting thing. I thought it was kind of humorous. When the children of Israel came into the promised land, one of their customs was is to change the names of the gods to be similar and yet take on a different meaning. Now, Beelzebub, or Baalzebub, if it was, you know, and we get the term Baal, was the fly god, okay? Or more accurately, was the scarab. Now, we know this scarab as to being the dung beetle, okay? That's most prevalent out there, and you've seen the little National Geographics about these dung beetles. They take the little balls and they roll them all around. But that was one of the gods that they worshipped. Now, the Jews took, when they entered in the land, they took the names of these gods and they changed them just a little bit so that it would more identify what it is that they were doing. And what they did is they called it Beelzebul, which means God of dung. And so whenever they said, come on, let's go worship Beelzebub, they would think in their mind, they would hear Beelzebul. And they say, well, I'm not going to go worship dung. No, that's ridiculous, you see. And they put a derogatory term onto the gods of the land so that they wouldn't worship them. Because it would be, you know, I'm not going to go worship dung. I'm not going to do that, you know. And we kind of do the same things. We call it by different names, you know, Chevy or Buick or things like that, you know. But if you go to the scrapyard for parts, you're going to see where those gods end up, you see. And so they're the god of rust, you see. So and nobody would go out and buy a rust bucket, would you? I mean, anybody? I got one if you want. I can get you one cheap, you know. Down payment, the whole nine yards. So, in verse 26, as we're picking it up fresh here, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Now, from this verse, we need to go back up to, we need to go back and hook this to verse 20, where it says, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And so he kind of puts this parenthetical phrases in here to show you what is going to be happening. But he's basically talking about this, and I almost missed this, you know. And as I've read this through, you know, throughout my Christian walk, I've always looked at this, and he says, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. I always took that to be, you know, like, we'll, at the end of it, the Lord is going to explain to us all of the different things that have happened. You know, all of the, you know, the trials that we went through, and all of the back dealings that, you know, why was I so maligned like this and that kind of thing. I don't think he's going to bother with that. I don't even think we're going to even care about that. When we stand in the Lord's presence, that's all we're going to be wanting is his presence. Because he's going to take that away from us. Are we even going to care about all of those things? It doesn't matter. It's all gone now. It's past. The heavens and the earth are going to be rolled up as a scroll. And we're just going to be in his presence. I'm going to be more interested in what he's got for it. I'm not going to be interested in what happened. I'm just going to be so glad to be there, you know. I mean, okay, whatever, you know. And you're going to roll this up. And the scripture says that he's going to wipe away every tear. So there's not going to be any tears in heaven. And as I thought about that even more, I thought, you know, if I knew that, what feelings would that conjure up in my heart? Feelings of revenge. You know, I want to see these people punished. Bring those enemies before me and slay them before me. They made my lives miserable. But you know what? God used those miserable times in our lives to bring us to a more spiritual level, to bring us up another notch. So we should be thanking for them. And it goes back to Matthew chapter 7 that says, pray for your enemies. Oh, you know, I mean, that was a tough one to begin with. But now as we see the back end of it, we see that we're going to be before the Lord. And what's going to happen to those enemies? They're going to be cast into hell. Don't you care about that? I mean, what's in your heart? We should be praying for those people that are persecuting us, that are despitefully using us, because their end is the pit. And we're not going there, but they're on their way. And maybe they've been blinded. Maybe they don't see where they're going. Maybe they think they're doing right. Remember, the Lord says that there are people that will kill you and think they do God's service. That's what Paul was doing. He was going around persecuting the church, thinking that he did God's service. He was zealous for the Lord. He didn't want this heresy to proliferate and to take people away from the living God. That's what his heart was. And that's why I believe that he got this supernatural intervention, because that's what his heart was. He was thinking that he was serving the Lord. Now, obviously, the Lord had a plan for him, but he had gotten us a supernatural awakening, if you will. You know, he got knocked off whatever it was that he was on. Some say a horse, some say a donkey, some say he was walking. But he was on the ground, let's just say. And his plan was thwarted by the living God because he had a plan for him. So he has a plan for all of us. And so those that persecute us, that hide in the shadows and say, we need to pray for those people. We may not know who they are, but as Jesus wept over the multitudes because they went around with no shepherd, let us take on that same heart of Jesus. Let us pray for those people that they would be delivered, because they're spiritually blinded for whatever reason, whether it's self-imposed or imposed, or whether the enemy has just gotten them blinded or sidetracked. We need to pray for them. We need to have them loosed from their bonds. That's what we are as Christians. As a fellowship of believers, that's where our hearts should be. The same heart that Jesus had. Now, all things being revealed, in Hebrews 4:13 it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And it kind of gives me a sense that the Lord cares enough for us to warn us that these things are going to happen. And when they come to pass, that should, you know, that should just stir in our hearts, saying, Lord, you said that this was going to happen. And so since it is happening, I want to give you praise and honor. I want to give you glory. As it says in Romans, you know, when persecutions happen, what are we supposed to do? Rejoice. Rejoice when these things happen. So, okay, well, if every man is casting your name out as evil, what are you supposed to do? Rejoice, because your names are written in the book, in the Lamb's book of life. Now, that doesn't mean that you have a license to be obnoxious. Okay, a lot of people think that, well, you know, I'm saved, so I can say whatever I want, and the Lord's going to cover it. Well, if you could see Jesus doing that in the Scriptures, I say, yeah, you go right ahead. But if he isn't doing it, then you don't need to be doing it. You need to be as your master. And if your master is Christ, you're going to take on his attributes. And a lot of people justify, well, I need to preach the gospel to these people. They're not listening, so I need to be, I need to really get in their face. I need to put, you know, tracks in their sandwiches, and I need to just be obnoxious. I need to stand up on buses and preach the gospel to these people. Well, if the Lord calls you to do that, fine, do that. But he doesn't want militant people. He doesn't need militant people. That's not the way of the Lord. He doesn't need, we're sheep. You know, we're not supposed to be Lambos. Okay? We're not supposed to be carrying arms and things like that and going around shooting people up if they don't accept Jesus Christ. That's not the way that he would have us to go. His ways are love, peace, joy, long-suffering, patience. He has it all planned out. It's amazing to me to see the chaos in the world and to know he had it all planned out. All of this works because of him. Now, if we go forward just a little bit, since we're on here now, in verse 29 it says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. In other words, he doesn't know, nothing escapes his attention. He knows about that sparrow that fell. Not only does he know about the sparrow, but he knows about all of the parasites that hide under the wings of the sparrow. And yet, we see the sparrow, well, in this instance, we see the sparrow as something that's cheap, that's, you know, a couple of farthings, one farthing, you can get, you know, two sparrows. But how much more are you? There is a mechanism, and I like to look at it as a mechanism, that everything is like an engine on a car. Now, I don't know if you've ever, you know, thought about how an engine works and things like that, but there's all kinds of intricate parts, and they're all milled and ground to tolerances, and all of these tolerances have to be met, and all the conditions have to be right, or this thing is not going to work. You start to wear an engine out, and, you know, it starts to get out of tolerance, and guess what? Your engine's going to start knocking, it's going to start running rough, it's going to start, you know, acting up, it's not going to start in the morning. So you know that there's something wrong with it. Well, the world as we know it is the same thing. It's all something that the Lord put together from the beginning. He knew the end from the beginning. He tells us the end from the beginning to authenticate who He is. He tells us in Daniel, He told Daniel, He gave him a glimpse of the things that were going to happen, yet future, that we haven't seen yet. He gave him a glimpse of things that were going to happen within the next 300 or 400 years. He allowed him to see these things. Why? Because he knew that they were going to happen. He built it. He put it all together. All of the things that we're doing today was all in the mind of God when he created the world. Our beginnings, our ends, all the things in between, all the interactions with people, you know, everything that we're doing is all part of his design. And yet, we still have free will. We can raise our hands, whichever we want. And yet, he knows what choices that we will make. And all of those things are factored in. To me, that takes, you know, an intelligence that I can't even begin to fathom. I can't even fathom the infinite because I'm finite. I'm within this microcosm, if you will, of what we call planet Earth and life on Earth. But he has it all planned. And everything that he has told us in the scriptures has come to pass 100%. There isn't anything in here that has not come to pass up to this point. But there are things that are yet to happen that haven't come to pass, but we can have confidence because of the things that he has told us in the past, the things that have come to pass already. So, he says, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed." Fear is an interesting thing. Fear has a double meaning in the scripture. Well, in Webster's dictionary, it has different things. It says to intimidate or to make one afraid. That is one of the definitions. But there's another definition that says a reverential awe or respect for a person. That is also the name for fear. Okay, and so as we look in there, we see, fear them not. Don't be afraid of them. We don't have to be because we know who we serve. Our master has told us these things so we can be at peace. And because they come against us, don't be afraid of those. In Psalm 2, it says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Now we know in James it says that you believe in God, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. And that's the same kind of a thing. We have that awe, that reverential respect for God, that when we fall down in his face, we know that he has the power, and we don't. And so when we start to get before people that have power, we tend to get nervous. We were driving to church today. We were coming down North Line Road. And as we were making the turn in there, a cop car pulled out, pulling in the left lane. Now, I don't have to tell you that the heart starts to palpitate a little bit when that happens, you know. And my wife says, "You see that cop car?" Well, the car was like maybe 30 feet in front of me. Well, yeah, I see the cop car. What, you think I'm going to hit it? She says, "Well, you know, you might want to be careful." And she says, "You know what? I haven't done anything wrong. I don't need to be afraid, you see. Just because you see this guy that could pull you over, he's not really authorized to do so unless you're doing something wrong. And so if you haven't done anything wrong, you don't have to be afraid." And so I just zoomed up to the speed limit, and that was that. You know, I was watching the speed, making sure I wasn't going over. But you see, I mean, we have that fear. We see the cop car, we'll slow down. You know, I don't want to pass. You see it on the freeway, I love it, you know. You see the state trooper, he's in the left-hand lane, and you see, well, what's blocking all of this, you know what? But then you see, oh, there's the bubble. Okay, I see why now nobody wants to pass the car, because the cop is doing 68. He wants to see, who's got the guts to pass me, you know. So, and I've known some state patrol, and I know they play that game, so it's just, they'll slow down and see, but it's kind of funny. But it's our perception, you know, that, hey, they have the authority and they could on a whim do something, but they really can't. Unless you're breaking the law, you have nothing to fear, okay? And so if the Lord tells you to do something and you do it and people start to get offended and they start to get, up in your face about it, you don't have to be afraid because you're doing what you were told to do. Now, I was just told to do this. I'm the messenger. And you don't have to defend yourself. The Lord told you to do that. Hey, got a problem with that? Go talk to the Lord. He'll be glad to tell you what he told me. If he would, he would have told you if you would be listening, but you're not. So he had to send me, you know, the donkey. But as for me, Psalm 5, it says, but as for me, I will come into thy house within the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. In Psalm 19, it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. We're talking about the fear of the Lord. You know, just your attitude about receiving from the Lord. When we read things, you know, do we look at things and say, well, I can't understand that and move right on? Or is this a spiritual challenge for us to say, Lord, I don't understand that. Would you reveal this to me, what this means? Now, let me go back to I always thought that was what we would know, but I believe that it had to do with whatever the Lord is telling us here. There is nothing covered, that is, the mysteries of the Scriptures. Now, there are many things, you know, when we come to know the Lord, we know absolutely nothing. We're like little babes, and we depend on preachers to come and tell us what's going on in the Scriptures. But the Holy Spirit is the one that teaches us. And so the next verse kind of couples with that. He says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak in the light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. So these are things that he is revealing to us. Have you ever had the experience where you're reading the Scriptures and you see a passage that's kind of puzzling to you, and then all of a sudden the Lord reveals it to you and your heart just soars? You're just like, wow, I understand what this means now. I understand the application of this. And what's the response? I can't wait to share it with somebody. Well, this is not this particular setting, but in the fellowship, when we get together, that's the time to share it. I was reading in Isaiah, and I was reading this particular passage, and I never understood it before, but ever since I read in Matthew, all of a sudden, it just came alive to me. All of a sudden, the Spirit revealed to me what it was, and that's the darkness that we're talking about within yourself. You see, he speaks out of the darkness. He hides in the darkness because we cannot look steadily on the Lord, because he is in a light that would destroy us. So he shields us by cloaking himself with darkness, and he speaks out of the darkness, and he calls us closer to him. And sometimes when he calls us closer to him, we can't see him. You know, we don't know where he is sometimes. And then he reveals us, where do we go? We go back to the Scriptures and we start to see, okay, this is what he's about. I'm clinging to the truths that I know. He's not asking you to believe truths that you don't know or the things that other people have been revealed to. He's asking you to believe the things that he has revealed to you. Now, as a disciple, you are looking into these things, and he's revealing more and more and more to you. And by revealing more and more to you, you begin to see, like Isaiah, he saw himself, and he saw that he was unclean. Lord, I am unclean. I am of a people of unclean lips. And what happened? He sent the angel to take the coal off the altar, and anything that touched the altar would be holy. And so he touched his lips, and then he was able to speak. He was able to say, oh Lord, now I can speak. I can do your will. And so he said, then after that he says, Lord, here am I, send me. And he did. He sent him. And with us, as we have said, yes, I accept you, Lord, he wants to draw us even closer to him. He wants to reveal more and more and more of what he has for us. And there are many mysteries that people argue about all over the internet, and I would advise you not to do that, but if you have a mind to, you can go on the blogs and stuff like that, and it's just like, and I'm glad they call them blog, because that's what it is, you know, blog. People got something to say, they really don't have a clue about what they're talking about, but they just want to get in the fray, they want to feel that they have some sort of intelligence, they want to be a part of some community of some sort, and I just, you know, I started looking at these, I got a headache, you know, I mean, I can't even follow these things, what are you people talking about, you know, and it's all about this or that or some kind of, you know, what do you think about this aspect or that aspect? What does the scripture have to say? Is there anybody out there that wants to know about the scriptures? Come on, I want to talk about the scriptures and what they say. Not these little things, these petty things that divide. Because at the end of these blogs, as I've seen, as I've looked at, it's always about fighting. And it's either we need to agree to disagree or we're going to just, you know, cancel your subscription to this blog because you're just getting, it's just getting to a heated debate. And when you get into those kind of things, you need to just walk away from them because that's not fruitful. The word of the Lord is peaceable, easy to be entreated. You know that that people are speaking the word of the Lord because it's peaceable, okay? It includes. It doesn't exclude. It doesn't build up a wall around. If you believe this, then come on in, brother. You're one of us. But if it says, well, you got to stay back. That's not what the Lord was all about. He gave them choices. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then you're included. But if you don't particularly believe a certain thing, are you a believer? Then you come on in. Okay, and as you have fellowship with us, iron sharpening iron, we will get proper doctrine. We will get those things. Now, there are heretical things out there that we need to guard against. You know, the people that are attacking the deity of Jesus Christ in one form or another. Those are heresies that need to be guarded against. But the pure word of the gospel, those that would embrace those things, these are our brothers and sisters, and we need to nurture them. They may not be on the same level, but we need to seek their level and bring them up or disciple them, come alongside of them and help. So, these are things that we, as they have been spoken in darkness, we, you know, as he has told us, we tell others. We don't hold it inside. We don't hold back. Because the Lord has revealed it to us, we share it with others. You know, kind of like a commentary, if you will. You know, commentaries are good. You know, they can be good to help with passages. But I'm of the one that I believe that the scriptures interpret the scriptures. And sometimes the Lord is holding things back to see how far you'll dig in to get it. And he wants you to nurture that kind of a thing. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but it is they that speak of me. When you're reading the Psalms, you know, we kind of look at those things. If you take the vantage point that it's Jesus Christ speaking, it takes on a whole new meaning. It takes on a whole new, you're kind of like, wow, you know, this is what the Lord felt? The Lord really felt this way? The Lord really thought these things? You know, you got to remember, he was 100% human. He had, he felt everything that we felt. He felt rejection. He felt dejection. He felt all of these things. But yet he did not sin. He laid aside his deity to become one of us, to show us how it was done. So when you look at the Psalms now, as we read the Psalms, think about this is Jesus Christ and what he was thinking, spelled out. You see, he laid it out for us so that we would know, so that we would be able to follow in his footsteps. So whatever it is that you hear in the ear, whatever's whispered, you shout from the housetops. You know what this stops? It stops gossip, doesn't it? Somebody comes up, you get up and you start yelling what it is that they said. You know, anybody that wants to, oh, come here, I got to tell you this thing. You know, this is gossip. This is wrong. This separates. This divides. Okay? If you can't stand up in a room and say something, then keep your mouth shut. Basically, you got nothing to say. You got nothing to say that anybody needs to hear. Now, there are personal matters. I'm not talking about things like that. But, you know, I mean, if you're going to talk about somebody, you go to that person and tell them about it. You know, you don't need to go to somebody else because that's going to divide. That's going to cause division. In verse 28, again, he says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." There is going to be a resurrection, the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. And everybody that was born in this world will be resurrected. Okay? We have the one. If you have been born again, you are resurrected already. You already have entered into eternal life. We talked about that. You know, what is eternal life? Knowing Jesus Christ, John 17:3. That's what eternal life is about. It's knowing Him. And those who don't know Him, where are they? Revelation 19, okay, the great white throne judgment. There's the two resurrections. There's the resurrection of the living in John 4. We see the rapture of the church, or in Revelation 4. And then at the end, we see the resurrection of the dead at the last day. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. This suggests to me intimate knowledge. He knows every single aspect of our physical and emotional and spiritual being as it sits exactly today. He knows what we need physically. He knows what we need spiritually, and He also knows what we need emotionally. He built us. He knows us. He knows us, and He wants us to surrender our own intellect to Him so that He can guide us into that which that is more beneficial for us. You see? He cares for you. Casting all of your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I could go on. You get the idea. In verse 32, it says, "Moreover, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Confession is not what you speak in this respect of what I'm talking about. Confession, you know, a lot of us say, well, I confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. I was at a Billy Graham crusade and I came down and I confessed the Lord and now I'm saved. I'm born again. Confession in this respect is where your life and your words are one. There is no contradiction in what you do and what you say. Romans 12, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Okay? This is reasonable service. If you have confessed Jesus Christ, then what you're going to do is you're going to offer your body as a living sacrifice. You're going to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow Him. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, do you know the term? And I know everybody has heard this, but if you haven't, here's a term that I'm going to throw out to you. Talk is cheap, okay? Talk is cheap, but the walk is where it's at. You want to talk, you want to look at somebody and you want to say, well, they're doing the blog, 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 blog thing. Okay, let's take a look at their life. If you're going to sit there and talk, then we're going to sit there and say, okay, well, let's examine. Let's see. This is what Jesus did. He put out there, this is what I am, okay, by my actions. He told the Jews, he says, you know, they were going to pick up stones to throw at him. He says, well, for what good work are you going to stone me for? He was referencing all of the things that he was doing, all of the things that testified of who he was. He was the Messiah, and these things testified to that effect. He says, well, not for that, but for your words. You see, we're going to stone you because you, being a man, has made yourself equal with God. You see, the actions were that I am equal with God. And then the words, and then he just backed up what he was saying backed up what he was doing by his words and what he had said. He had showed those things first. I am showing you that I am God by doing these things, which no other man was able to do. And now that I have confessed with my mouth those things, I have hidden nothing from you, now you want to kill me. You see the reaction that you're going to get from the world and those of the worldly minds? They're going to want to silence you. They're going to want to put you to death. Ultimately, but a lot of them, they just want to say, I want you to shut up. I want you to go away. I want you to get away from here because you make me uncomfortable. That's going to be the reaction of the world. And so when you say, when he says, therefore, whosoever therefore shall confess me, he's talking about your actions. He's going about, you know, how has your life been transformed? That's what people want to know. They want to see, oh, you talk a good talk, but let's see how your life has been transformed. Where is the evidence? Where is the fruit? And true, we do not judge a man because we cannot see into a person's who they are and in their soul. We can't tell what it is that they truly believe. But we can see the fruit. We can see the trail, just like a boat. I don't know if there's any boaters out here, but if you get into a speedboat and you see it at the dock, it's just sitting there. You know it's But when it's out on the open sea and it's going, you can see this little wake. You know that it has been there. You can see what it's churned up in the wake of it. And it's the same thing with a man or a woman. As they're walking through their life confessing with their mouth Jesus Christ, what is in their wake? Is it love, joy, peace, long-suffering? Or is it envy, strife, malice, those kind of things, the works of the flesh. In Galatians, it talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. These are the things that we look at in people and say, you know what, I'm seeing love, and I'm seeing joy, and I'm seeing peace, and I'm seeing all of the things that are attributed to God. But if there are some people that you know, they spread strife wherever they go. They spread, you know, and it's all of the work of the flesh. And these are the things that you look at. This is how you can tell what truly is in a person. And then Jesus goes on and says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." So much for that Prince of Peace thing, you know. Getting running kind of late. If you really want to hammer the... you know what? Let's just do that. Let's just turn to 2 Corinthians. I was going to do this if we had the time. I think we can squeeze this off. 2 Corinthians... I'll try not to tarry on those too long. It's kind of difficult because I don't know what where we were here. Okay. Or what time we started. I didn't really look at the clock. Let a man sow a... Oh, I'm sorry, that was 1 Corinthians. I mean, 2 Corinthians. Da, 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 da. Did I say 1 Corinthians? Yeah, I did say 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Actually, it's 4 and 5, but... Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which are alive, which live, are always delivered unto death, for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the essence of all of these things, and it goes on with chapter 5. So, and I didn't want to it's not a derailment, but I just didn't have enough time to go through all of that. But you can in your own homework. In fact, you can start at middle of chapter 3 and go all the way through to chapter 6 and get the essence of what it's all about, what it is that we are supposed to do, the yielding of ourselves. But think that I am not, and back in Matthew, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. So as we begin to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ, those in our own household who do not are going to start coming against us. They're going to be our enemies, and they're going to be the ones that we so desperately want to come to the Lord and to enjoy eternal life, but they're the ones that are going to be the most obstinate because they knew us when. They knew us before our conversion, and they're going to bring all of these things up into our face. And they are going to be our biggest nemesis because of those kind of things. Well, you remember back when you were a kid when you did this and this and this? Well, tell me about that now. Well, I can't remember that, you know, so you can plead the fifth on that. But the essence is that they're not going to want the things that you want, whether it be sibling rivalry or rivalry. It's getting low. Yeah, that too. Rivalry or whatever. The thing is that the enemies, our greatest enemies, are going to be in our own household. In verse 37, he says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Now, this the whole essence there, it seems like that's a pretty harsh thing to do. I mean, because we're supposed to honor our father and our mother. And how can we do that if they're going to be our enemies? How is it that, you know, if we don't, you know, I mean, if we don't honor them, if we don't love them, how is it that we're going to do? He says, he's not saying that we should hate them. He says, if you don't love me more than these. And it's the same thing that he told Peter. Peter, lovest thou more than these? You know, I believe he was talking about not the fish that were laying there, but, you know, the other disciples, you know, because he had said that he denied knowing the Lord three times. And so the Lord was giving him a chance to restore himself, I believe. And so when he asked him these things, and it's the same with it. If you don't love Jesus, if your relationship with Jesus isn't the at the top of the list of all other relationships, then you're not worthy of the Lord because you're holding others before him. And Jesus said, you shall have no other gods before me. And if you look at the scripture, it's the little g. It isn't God's deity, it's God's human. He has called us gods. We are sons of Adam. Adam was created a son of God as a direct creation. Okay, says so in the Gospel of Luke. Who was then Adam, who was the son of God? He was a son of God. So, in the scriptures, he says, well, don't I call you, in the scriptures, don't I call you gods? You know, and it's the same thing. We love Jesus supremely above all others. The reason that we have fellowship one with another is because we all hold to that same truth. We have fellowship with Jesus Christ, first and foremost. And so, by that, we have fellowship one with another. You know, if there's somebody comes in that doesn't have that fellowship, they won't be able to fit in. They won't be able to get it. They just won't be able to adhere. They won't be able to mesh with who we are because of that. Okay, and they're going to see what we want, and one of two things will happen. They will either have to leave, or they will want what we have. You see, and that's why we spend so much time in the Word and the talking about the fellowship of Jesus Christ, because that is the essence of who we are. And we have fellowship with Him and therefore have fellowship one with another. He that findeth his life shall lose it in this world. If you seek to find life in this world, you shall surely lose it, because we know everybody dies. We can read the paper. 10 out of 10 people die. There is no exception. Everybody dies. Everybody that is born of in the human race is going to die. That's the curse from Adam. Now, if the atheists and those that don't want to acknowledge God don't believe that, then they shouldn't die because they don't want to be under the authority of God. But God placed the curse on this earth that the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. And he wasn't talking about physically, but he was talking about spiritually. And whatever is manifested in the spiritual realm will manifest itself in the physical realm as well. And so Adam and Eve didn't die right away. They were still alive in the flesh. It took them 1,000 years to do so, to finally, you know, grow old and die. But they died instantly spiritually. Okay? And they had a need to be covered, didn't they? And what did they grab? First thing they grabbed, they sewed fig leaves together. Gotta love that. We kind of went over that on Wednesday. You know, I mean, we get the chuckles there. But I mean, it is. It's so ridiculous. We try to cover our own sin, and we just end up making matters worse instead of just going and confessing our sin before the Lord. Okay. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it, because he gives us life. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Remember the scriptures that went out, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. And this is the Lord talking. Because he lives in you, they're not reproaching you. They're reproaching the one that you represent, the one that lives within you. That's who they're reproaching. It's the spiritual realm. The battle is in the spiritual realm. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where the battle is fought. It isn't with picket signs in front of abortion clinics. That's not a battle. That's a distraction. It's a way of the enemy distracting you from getting on your knees in the prayer closet praying for the people that would use those places. You see, there's no revival going to happen in this country. This country is not going to revive itself because of programs. It's only going to be revived when the Spirit of the living God is indwelling men. And then we can live at peace one with another. So that's the idea is that because of who we are, that's why we are being reproached in the first place. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So if you're receiving somebody into your home or showing hospitality to these, then that's what they were going out to do. They had to, go into and stay in people's houses. But if you receive somebody in the name of a prophet or in the name of a righteous man, you are taking part in his ministry or her ministry, you see. As you sponsor, let's say, a missionary out there doing some work, there, you are partaking, you are getting the same reward as them because of what you're doing. You're allowing them to go out and do. You aren't doing it yourself, but you're supporting them. And so you partake of their ministry. When you pray for the people in this fellowship, you're partaking in so many righteous people's lives, and you're going to receive a reward for that as you go through the directory and you see these people and you start to lift them up in prayer and you go to war for them. You go to bat for them and you start to lift them up. For whatever reason, the Lord may put somebody in your heart, you start praying for them, you're going to receive a reward from that. And finally, and whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Now, I think of Jerry, who brought me some water. He shall in no wise lose it. He's a very intelligent guy. He knows that he's got the spiritual thing down because he's... It was my hint, yeah. But you did it, you see. You know, the Lord's not going to take off marks for, you know, that kind of thing. You didn't know I needed until I told you. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. And Father, I am at awe in the things that you're doing in my life, and the forgiveness and the grace that you bestow upon me, the mercy for not wiping me out. I'm just so thankful, Lord, that you are so merciful. Your loving kindness, your grace, whatever it is that it's called, Lord, it's something that I want more of. Draw me close to you, Father. Oh, Lord, I pray that the things of this world would just melt away, that I would not be concerned about the things that are happening here because you have everything under control. But give us peace, Lord. Pray that your Holy Spirit would just be poured out upon each and every one of us here, that we might be pleasing to you as we walk this walk. Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.